Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
And welcome, everyone, and thank you for all listening. This is Andrew Fetter. Of course, welcome to When Pigs Fly, because bullshit simply doesn't. Not at this channel, not at this station, not at this linear time, and not on my show. I want to thank everybody for listening, and everyone who is celebrating Easter, I wish you a very, very happy Easter. And for those who are celebrating Passover, happy Passover or Chag Sameach. A lot of things happening, of course. I actually have a very special guest. It will be coming on April 27th. I had to double-check my calendar here. retrograde, got to make sure. And he's coming on. His name is Dr. Kirby Surprise. And it ain't no surprise. He is the one who wrote the very famous book that's been very popular. A lot of people have been talking about it, and you have it, no problem. But people have been talking about it, called Synchrosity. Again, he's coming on my show on April 27th. Look forward to that. It should be quite fascinating. And that's it. nothing at this time for other guests. I will next week, by request, your request, I will not be doing a repeat show. So please send your emails of what you wish to hear, and that which is what I will put on for my next show. I'm taking a little one-day vacation, I guess. but anyway, nonetheless, back to the present, the moment. The issue is, and speaking of Passover, which I was mentioning, I wish everybody again happy Passover, is a very fascinating, heavy holiday, much more than people may realize. Even those who celebrate it within Judaism, it is a holiday that is basically deals with the Exodus or the liberation of the people of Israel during the time of Pharaoh from Egypt. Way back when, you know, story of Moses, yada, yada, yada. If you haven't, well, hello. anyway, nonetheless, that's basically the story of Passover. And of course, they sit around, they eat matzah, da, 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 and they go through the story, and they try to re-express it and re-envision it. And it's told for every year within that story from generation to generation. And there is a very heavy metaphysical relationship, and it does not pertain just amongst Jews. This is why I'm bringing this story up, because of it. It has a heavy metaphysical understanding of the story. People could literally take the Seder, and people themselves have a Seder. They can be the realize the significance of it. From any of the holidays, I find personally within Judaism, this is, in my view, of course, this is just my view, that this is probably the most metaphysical holiday that relates to, like, again, not just Jews, but all humanity. Now, like I said, it is basically the story of, and I'm not going to tell you the whole story. This is not what I'm going to get into, so don't worry. Otherwise, you'll fall asleep. It's basically the story of the people of Israel being emancipated from slavery. But like I said, there is a profound, deep, esoteric understanding from the Sabbath that many, and probably most rabbis don't even touch upon. If they don't, they really don't elaborate. Or even priests to their understanding, or ministers, or mullahs, or imams, simply lose the profound understandings held within the understandings within this holiday. It is not by coincidence that even Jesus himself used this particular holiday as a Last Supper, but I find it extraordinary that Christians have no clue of this holiday, because it has a lot of esoteric, metaphysical understandings in the relationship to a soul, to the universe, and to themselves. this is why it was done. It's like painted over. They're so focused on Jesus as opposed to the, why that was done on that particular holiday. There was because of, he could have done it on Rosh Hashanah. It could have been something else. It was that holiday. That's why it was so significant. And it's so, as for a child for myself, I felt it was very, I was deeply, myself personally, had an uncanny reason. I was sort of deeply drawn to this holiday. Perhaps it's because of the affinity of itself or some other reasons. Maybe, as my blessed friends would say, it was affinity for me. Interesting to know, this holiday, of course, it falls in spring, which is the reflecting of the renew, the rebirth. And I know there's pagan and other holidays and amongst both whatever belief systems, whatever anybody has that relates to the rebirth during springtime. But it's coincidental that this particular holiday falls on this time, which I find not just coincidental, but a reason for it. All things have a reason. I mean, think about it. During the winter, it's very cold, dormant, everything stands still. Yet in springtime, the flowers begin to bloom, and new starts begin afresh, and the baby begins to bear. And the emergence, a new awareness becomes in the reality. And yet, Passover is about a journey, or a journey in life, in this life. And this is what it's about. Now, there are things that people take for account or assumptions, and they believe these assumptions to be, in fact, true when they don't really go into the reality of what these are. And this is where they lose from what's being changed and what is being aware. And I'll explain that sort of like, what the hell did he just say? When a baby is born, it's emerging and it becomes aware of things. And in Passover, it's much like that. It's the start of a journey. That is the Passover. It is beginning the journey in life. It's like the birth. It's giving the opportunity to become aware again, the rebirth, to realize the opportunity this has many establishments. Within the very essence of Passover, it is provides us the opportunity to what? One thing, our courage and our encouragement through our life's assumed limitations. That's what I was going to get into, the assumption of limitations. Our assumed limitations are, in fact, our slavery to our own emancipation. A real freedom of these assumed limitations through our blessed opportunities of encouragements. So in fact, Passover provides the opportunity to become aware of these, that the fatality as well as the reality that these limitations, which is our slavery, can be we can emancipate ourselves from just simply from the first step is awareness. It is the beginning. That's why it's done. The reinvigorate. It's not a coincidence that we have this holiday on spring. Rebirth, rechange. Sometimes we need consistently being aware through the cycles, reminded of the realities of the real realities, not the assumed realities that we perceived, or the assumed realities that somebody tells us, or the assumed realities that people delegate their realities and perpetrate them upon ourselves. Those are their reality, their perspectives. And perhaps we limit ourselves with our own realities. Those limitations are your chains. Those limitations are the illusions of what is. They are not the reality. The reality, the truth, there's no limitations. That is the freedom. And yet, with every year comes this time in Passover. Every year we have this opportunity. Yet, we've always and have always had these opportunities. We didn't need just to wait for Passover to come. We have this every moment. We have the opportunities to release ourselves from this slavery, the slavery also of karma, slavery of karmic attachment, the slavery of old negative patterns, the slavery of old negative thoughts, our slavery, our limited belief systems. Yet we can free ourselves, removing these illusions, and become of a greater awareness. Our awakening begins with embracing the self-loving of ourselves, the feeling and becoming aware of the true selves of who we are. That direction, that very step forward, that initial step is the true of, is the very step of our awareness. The awareness holds no blame, because the blame game is a simply lame game. And awareness removes any limitations. It holds out of the awareness that limitation is an illusion of a finite presence. Instead, we are increasingly becoming aware of our deeper meaning of ourselves without the alter ego. Rather, loving our souls, loving that we truly are. We are truly gracious and aware of our universe and our elements and all being one. So I ask you all in a moment of silence. A moment of silence and meditation. As I say, we are aware and will become increasingly aware of where we are. For we are in the moment. This night is different from all other nights. This day is different from all other days. Why? Why does the world feel so different? Reason? You are becoming increasingly aware of its changing, yet all is just is. The colors, the shapes, the textures held within the prism of the universe is becoming increasingly brighter and deeper, yet more alluring. And you are aware. You feel the very joy. You feel the energy of all within you and all about you. All within your immediate community and all within the prism of souls upon earth and all habitants held with the prism of earth. You are aware. You feel all the energy. You feel the energy all within every aspect and every essence of all matter, elements, and unseen and unheard and unfelt. You simply feel. You are the joy. You feel the joy. The sensation of your perception. You are indeed a leaf within your perspective on this tree of life, which has multiple souls connecting each by the branches held upon them. And you're all connected to the same common trunk, which is a root in the same common root, which is connected and nourished in the same common ground. It is this awareness. This is the joy. It is our very awareness that is all required. It is the awareness that becomes the truth. It is awareness that removes and dissolves the illusion of limitation. Humanity has become and has been the master of illusions and the master of the most negative one, the master of limitation. We become free and yet we enslave ourselves continually with limitations. Why? Is it our self-worth? Question. Thus, we create this ongoing cycle of freedom and slavery, recreating our never-ending cycle of karma. Yet, our awareness is the beginning of the dissolving of this continual cycle. Thus, in Passover, there are four cups. The first cup being awareness. Awareness of what? Ourselves, our universe. Awareness being the very first step toward change. The first step toward enlightenment. The first step toward light. The very first step of simply being you. What are you aware of? You're now aware of our manufactured limitations. The slavery nonsense subjected to us from generation to generation. Your awareness is a deep profound. You're aware that the infinity is in fact the reality, the truth, and not the finite of limitation, of manipulated limitation. We were never born to be slaves. Our souls have always been free. Our souls have been free before even the doctor smacked your ass, the first crying breath to the last breath of your dying days. You are free from beginning to the end, since there is no beginning and there is no end. You are simply free. This is the awareness. We are awakened to our awareness. We are aware that we are the ones who hold our true keys to freedom. The keys have always been there, because there has never been a door locked. There has never been a key to open these doors. There has never been a pathway for you to walk, to initiate. You're already there. These are of limitations. These words that I even use are limited to some capacity. The freedom is there. It always has been. Because we are aware that the doors of our connection is the universe. God. We are the connection. We are God. We have been and will always be given. No cleric. No rabbi. No priest, no minister, no pastor, no imam, no mullah, no one holds your freedom of thought of you. You do. They have no limitations on you. You have it on yourself. They, the clerics, have often limited you. How? You know how. They have used the chains of slavery, and these chains of slavery are fear. Guilt. These are the slavery. They have become the pharaohs, the masters. They have created the illusion of limitations. They are the pharaohs. They are your limitations. Anyone who dictates a limitation has enslaved you by use of fear. Guilt. Those are illusions. Those are slavery tactics. They are an illusion of limitation and reality. Do not exist. Don't do this. Don't do that, they tell you. The fear of God. God will get mad at you. Guilt. All chains, all slavery. It is a manufactured illusion of the worst kind. The universe, in fact, is free. You are free. Your soul is free. This is the awareness. We also trap ourselves by holding on to the illusions of fear. But we hold on as well, anger. Anger is another enslavement. All attaching karma like anger are chains of slavery holding you down. to that chain, that ball and chain. They make you feel like a slave because you are ingrained to assume their importance. When in reality, they are so trivial, they are nonsense. We enslaved ourselves by living in the past and or just the future, never being in the moment. Our awareness of this is the first step. We imprison ourselves by caring about what others may think. Oh my God, what would she think if I do this? Oh my God, what would they think if I do that? What will they think? What will they think? Who the fuck cares? Don't be imprisoned by them. We have confined ourselves and trapped ourselves. The first cup, awareness. Awareness is the first step toward true change. We seek to awaken to the awareness that we hold these keys, our slavery, our freedom. We seek to remember that the world reflects our own beliefs back to us. Like the ancient Israelites in Egypt, we are not simply enslaved by others, but by external taskmasters, including the clerics. They have become the pharaohs, those in power that hold monetarial items. They are now becoming the pharaohs. Those who sit in governments have now become the pharaohs, dictating what you should believe, projecting fear. The media has become the pharaohs. They have become the slave, your master, and you have become their slave. It's not a pharaoh outside who bonds us. It's what we carry, the fairy pharaoh within ourselves. That is the reality. We are ourselves. We keep ourselves stuck with limiting thoughts. Like, I can't. I'm not good enough. I'm not ready. I don't deserve better. These are limiting thoughts. And we trap ourselves by holding on to fear and anger and unwillingness to forgive. We confine ourselves by living in the past and or future and never fully experience the very present, the very moment. And we imprison ourselves by acting according to what others may think. Others think that we should do. We bind ourselves by being too quick to blame others for our own perceived misfortunes. We limit ourselves by hardening our hearts in jealousy and judgment. We deny ourselves the very freedom to be ourselves through pretense, pretending that things are okay when they are not, pretending that we are feeling alive when we are not. In fact, we are free. We are all the slaves, and yet we are the enslavers. Only we can set ourselves free. No Buddha, no Mahdi, no Messiah, no Christ, no Pahana, no one but ourselves. Only we can set ourselves free. This is the awareness. First cup. Blessing. Blessing is a second cup. When I first think of blessing, I think of you. I think of me. I think of Earth. I think of God in the universe. Blessing. Yet, blessing encompasses so much. No limitations. Blessing, reverence. I am thankful for where I'm at. I'm thankful for the water I drink. I am thankful that I have a roof over my head. I am thankful that I have two eyes, two ears, two arms, two legs. Thankful. I am thankful for all the experiences that I have experienced and will experience. For these are my opportunities to heal and to learn, to grow. I am thankful. I look upon others who may be less fortunate, less situations. There is always less. There is always more. Therefore, in reality, the universe is showing us to be thankful. There are many who say, oh, my life is so bad, what's happening? Yet they have a roof over their head. They don't live in Somalia. And then those who live in Somalia, who are perhaps starving, yet have two arms, two legs, and breathe. They feel the very pain. Is that a blessing? There's even worse, less fortunate than them. And less fortunate. That compassion, that connection of feeling the misfortune is receiving, understanding the connection, the compassion, that's the blessing. Being thankful for who you are, because there's always less. And yet there's always more. And those who have more, you've been blessed. What do you do with it? You have opportunity to do more. Yet, you are the blessing. Your very existence is a blessing. Your blessing is what? The simple fact that you are aware. That indeed is a blessing. The blessing is you are simply becoming more aware. Blessing. Your effort in striving to learn, to love, to heal, your effort has become the blessing. The simple feeling of love in itself, a blessing. Feeling the very connection of all things, experiencing all, connecting to everything, blessing. Loving God, the universe, a blessing. Loving Earth is a blessing. Loving all that exists on earth is a blessing. Loving yourself is a blessing. Loving souls is a blessing. You are the blessing. The unconditional love, the awareness that we are all connected, and the awareness that we are simply leaves with different views on this tree of life. Connected to the same common trunk, the same root, which is the same, connected to the same earth, the same nurturing ground, in fact, is a blessing. It is a blessing when you are aware that the universe is infinite, and you're simply aware of this truth, a blessing. It is a blessing when you're aware the direction you're heading toward. When you're heading toward the strive to increase your frequency, to heal yourself, loving yourself, loving all within you, connecting to your true self, striving with effort to remove all karma attachments, that in itself, the simple motion of direction, in itself, the blessing. You are what? The blessing. The blessing is you. Blessing. Second cup. Third cup. We chose choice. Choice is the third cup. We chose the very path we are on. We co-create, thus we choose. We chose our parents. Yes, we have. We chose the parents we have. We chose the life. There are simply no victims. You chose it. Yes. You chose the circumstance. You chose to become into that body. You chose to experience even the calamities. You chose to get in that experience. You chose it before you chose it. You chose it. The second you opened your mouth and you breathed, the second you came out of your womb of your mom, the second you walked, you chose. You chose to experience. We constantly choose. We choose the path that we come in this lifetime and all lifetimes. Yes, we choose. By this choice, we take responsibility to the reactions of the past. Past actions and reactions. We choose to act and take the responsibility for the reactions. Thus, we have chosen the reactions, the karma. We can also choose not to choose. But then we just chose, didn't we? To choose not to choose is just choice. Thus, you chose. We can always choose not to be aware, which many have. And what does that mean when you choose not to be aware? To ignore. Thus, we are called ignorant. The word ignorant comes from ignore. We can choose to heal, or we can choose to be ignorant. We can choose not to choose. We can choose not to accept our responsibility. That in itself is a choice. You can choose to be slaves. You can choose to be beaten. You still made a choice. You've always been free to make that choice. So we can choose not to accept our responsibility, then that choice, like I said, is a choice. So in fact, we choose. All things we choose. We can choose to endure the manufacturer limitations. We choose to be slaves. Or we can choose to embrace the truth, the reality that in fact we have always been free. We can choose to be free. We can choose to love. We can choose to be compassionate. We can choose to be aware of our universe and us. We can choose to become better than we are. We can choose the path to heal, to love, to learn. We are choosing every moment when we think a single thought. We are constantly manifesting. We are choosing our world. As Buddha once said, we are what we think. All that we arises is with our thoughts. We are our thoughts. We make the world. We make the world. We choose. What we think, we chose our thoughts. What arises from within our thoughts, we chose. And likewise, we can choose to be ignorant. We can choose to be ignorant, which comes from the word ignore, as I said. And as Thomas Paine once said, reason obeys itself, and ignorance submits to whatever is dictated. Thus, we can choose reason, or we can choose ignorance. We can choose to ignore the realities, or we can choose reason by logic. We can choose God that is within us, that we don't need anyone else to make that divine connection for us. We can choose, because we are and always have been free to make choices on our own, that we must take personal responsibility for our actions. We can choose the truth of unconditional love. We can choose the truth that there is no hell, no judgment, no angry or separate God. We can choose that we are loved unconditionally by the universe, God. We can choose the fact that we are free to choose. We are free, in fact, to choose our own path to God. We can choose because we have choice. We can always choose. The awareness that the God is within us. We can choose the awareness that God is within us, and we can choose and become aware that we are blessed. We can choose that reality or the truth. We can choose our spiritual quest that will ultimately end by our reuniting with our true selves, our source. We can choose, thus we are free, and thus we are free to express. We can choose the reality of conditional, unconditional love for all, and we can choose love for another, unconditionally, always honoring their rights and choices of others. We can choose to have faith in ourselves. We can choose to believe in ourselves, because we can choose. We can choose to find all the answers that we can find by going within and perhaps search for the universal truths in our hearts, which tell us where we have always been able to find them. We all choose. We have choice. Choice. We always choose. We always have choice. I choose now to take a sip. That was the third cup. Choice. In the last cup, deed. What is a deed? A good deed? Bad deed? Deed of a home? Deed. Deed is the action. But think about what deed has, holds. Deed, the integrity. Often removed from many supposed spiritual speeches. Integrity. Integrity is the backbone of all spirituality. With it, you are nothing but mush. You can do 4 million kumbayas, 6 billion chants, 5,100 bobbing your hands against pillows in your heads in the Buddha way. You can bow down 50 million times, light 400 billion things of incense. Pray. Getting every kind of yoga stance. Twisting and turning like a pretzel upside down, left and right. You can stand on every pillar pronouncing unconditional love for all beings. Oh, I love you all. You can say all these things. Yet, if you don't have integrity, they are meaningless. You don't keep your word, they become nothingness. All your actions are void. All your deeds are void. It is by the intent of your deed which is integrity as well. If you intend to do something out of good heart, integrity. If you intend to do something for your own ego, question comes in mind. If you do things and don't keep your word, integrity. If you tell somebody you're going to do something, then don't do it. Your integrity is in question. Much. If you're going to be on a particular time and you're not, integrity comes into question. Integrity is the thermometer of your backbone. Without it, the lesser of it, all things mean nothing. Integrity is everything. It is behind every word, every element, everything that you stand by. It is the legs that make you stand. It is the hands that make you grab things. Integrity. Without it, you're mush. It is your bones within your body, within your soul. Integrity. So with that backbone, with the integrity element, it is the doing. Deed. Deed. Held with integrity, you heal yourself. You make efforts to heal yourself. That very deed, healing yourself, is the deed. Your very thoughts are deeds. You must walk the talk. Your anger is a deed as well as your love is a deed. You're holding back on karmic attachments. Deed. Those are backward deeds. Deeds go one way or the other way. Left, right. Do you see if is it clearer or blurrier? I feel like in like an eye doctor, right? Is it number one or number two? Deed is the actions. It creates the karma. And the karma creates what? The suffering. And the suffering creates what? Delusion. Which creates more karma. That circle. The attachments. Those are our deeds. And the opposite deeds, the deeds to revert them, for example, to remove the weeds from that little garden of yours, move one seed to another, one plant, one weed, one plant. Those are the deeds. A deed being merit. A merit. What's a merit? A goal. Help somebody. Merit. No ego is involved. Greatest deed that you can possibly do, do something for somebody without them ever knowing it. Greatest deed you could ever do, the greatest blessing behind the deed is doing something for somebody without them ever knowing it. Why? No ego. Therefore, it was merit. Merit is doing something without your ego. Merit. Now, if you're trying to heal yourself, it's not your ego. You're trying to heal yourself. That's still merit. Healing yourself is a merit. Healing others is a merit. Helping somebody is merit. Learning is merit. Expressing yourself with your freedom, therefore, reflecting how you truly believe is merit. All the aforementioned I talked about, removing the chains, merit. Merit. Now, so I'm called, I hope I pronounce this right, the meritus act is simply giving information. giving information that will benefit somebody else. Example. A group of people living next to a lake are starving to death. The Merit Act simply give them a bunch of fish. They now feed themselves. They take the fish and they eat it. That's the Merit Act. The Meritus Act would be, hey, you got a lake. Like showing them how to fish so they can feed themselves. Meritus Act. The Meritus Act was when the Native Americans helped the pilgrims how to grow corn. The Meritus Acts. That was a Meritus Act. This is what they are. Those are the four cups I just mentioned. So think about it. Awareness. Think about awareness. Being aware of things. Think about the blessing what that encompasses. Think about the choices, and then think about the deeds. Very, very simple. People make things more complicated than they really are. In reality, things are really quite simple. People make 400-page books, volumes and volumes of philosophies. In reality, that's delusionary. That's diluting the facts of the reality. It's making things more complicated than they are. Things are much simpler than they are. That is the irony. I mean, that is what it is. And what I have to say is we've always been free. Our souls are free. Only we have manufactured limitations by the do's and don'ts and by use of fear and guilt. And that there is somehow a father or son that is above you. And that there's some invention of a lie. The man in the sky. Which the clerics live by. And you follow them. And the cleric knows more. And you know less. And perhaps you were born with sin and guilt. With a plethora of more lies. More chains. More fears, where there are separations of women on one side of a room, the men on the other side of a room, limitations. Okay, oh, it's for chi, but that's a lie. Making men go up and do praying and before women. Why? Separation, limitations, lie. In reality, we have unbased freedom. Connecting to our true selves is the reality. The universe is free. Your soul is free. When you go out and you throw out your perspectives is what limits you. But your perspectives is not the reality. It is not the truth. It is only your little fishbowl, what some call the reality. And all these are your chains of your slavery that you believe are in fact. You think they're real, but in fact are just simply an illusion. And what are the four cups? You are the four cups. You are the awareness. You are the blessing. You are the choice. You are the deed. And yet, we are free. We are free. Yes, we are free. And with that, I'm going to close with a very special song of a special woman who once sang and she had passed on. Hope you'll hear it. I hope it works. I'm going to play this straight from my computer here. It's called Im Nin Alu by Ofra Haza. It's a beautiful song. I hope this meets with your heart as it has always held mine. Let's see if it works. God bless you all. Thank you.